Welcome to season 4 of the Brave Writer podcast, A Brave Writer's Life in Brief. I'm Julie Bogart, your host. This season, we are releasing via audio our most popular YouTube broadcasts. We're so excited that you can now listen to these on audio while you're running, driving in the car, or folding laundry. We will also sprinkle throughout this season original content, interviews with people I think are compelling to listen to. If you get a chance, please help us out by leaving a review at iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to Brave Writers podcast. We really appreciate it. It helps us get the word out, and it also gratifies all the people behind the scenes who work so hard to bring these to you for free. And now, let's get going with this episode. I'm happy to have you with me today. I love today's topic, and here's what it is. Partnership home education. Finding friends for you. You know, one of the things about being in Brave Writer and in the Homeschool Alliance is that I've gotten a lot of feedback that you start to get excited about this style of living, and then you're not sure if you can find each other out there in the world. So many of you struggle with this feeling like, I need friends, and I want to spend time with them, and I want them to be supportive of what I'm doing, and I want to feel like I can be supportive of them as well. And one of the things that I remember, even in my own home education journey, is that sometimes there is this big sort of disconnect between your theory of education and maybe a friend of yours. Whether it's a friend in the neighborhood or a friend at your church or a friend that you know in the homeschooling support group community, and it's someone you really like interpersonally, but she has a different vision of homeschool than you do, and it creates maybe a little bit of conflict. So there are a couple of kinds of friends that you want to cultivate in your life, and I want to help you think about some principles about how to do that. Today, I'm just going to tell stories and give you some recommendations because this is a topic that's more like a heart-to-heart between me and you, okay? So let me get started first by way of a story. I've shared before about my best friend in homeschooling. Her name was Dottie Christensen. We met when we were both living in Morocco at the time, and I didn't even have kids yet. She had two very small children. What happened and why we were lucky is that she moved to California at the same time I did, and we ended up living in the same neighborhood, identical apartments, balconies across from each other. So Dottie and I forged a homeschooling life together. The benefit of having a friend in the neighborhood was exceptional. We could do homeschool in the morning, a child would call, and then we would all go outside and play. Or we would even take breaks together and go back and do more homeschool. Or I could send my kids, who were younger and needed to be watched, over to her house and work with my older kids, and then she could do the same, send kids to my house while she worked with an older child. This is an exceptional situation. Most of you do not have the option of a friend in the very same neighborhood that you could spend time with and share that responsibility. I'm well aware of that. I have not always had that situation. That said, if you can create it, it cannot be beat. Do not despise the days of small beginnings in apartments if you have a best friend who homeschools. You may end up looking back on that period of your life as the happiest of your life. And I will tell you this, the benefit of having a best friend nearby was that we got to craft a homeschool philosophy together. One of the challenges, I think, is that so often we enter a home education community support group or a co-op where there is an underlying established philosophy, and then we grow. We change, we shift, and suddenly those beliefs are challenged, and we aren't sure how we can stay a participant or what membership means now because we don't see things the way that we did when we first started. So something I want to put out to you is try not to think, first of all, in a big group. Think about a personality of a homeschooling friend. Maybe there's one that you already know about that you're interested in getting to know better, whose kids maybe match up with the ages of your kids. And the first thing you want to do actually is forge the friendship. Don't even worry about homeschooling. Forge the friendship with this other mom. Get together if you can for coffee. Get your families together to take a trip to the park or the beach and get to know the mother. Because if you start with a friendship with the adult woman, not just finding friends for your kids, but actually finding a friend for yourself, you can start to develop a homeschool philosophy that will go together. In other words, you might pick a book to read together. You might look online together, watch a Periscope together, watch DVDs of a favorite home educator. Spend time developing the philosophy as a team instead of thinking you have to find someone who already agrees with you. Start with a person you're attracted to. This situation with Dottie wouldn't have worked if we didn't like each other fundamentally. Just because we shared philosophically a vision of homeschool doesn't mean that that's enough to really create that bonded support. And part of that conversation that you have, whether it's at breakfast or you go out to the park, is asking, does she want to explore homeschool philosophies with you? Do this after you've already started to get to know each other. But what you want to do is create space for growth. One of the dangers in a lot of these homeschool settings is that we are so worried about making sure we have the right system, we forget to leave room for growth and change. We forget that we might actually change our viewpoint at some point and still need friends. Friends who love us for who we are, not just what we believe or what we've said we wanted to do. So start the relationship on the basis of growth. One of the things that I did, even in spite of or in addition to Dottie, is I knew I needed some friends beyond her. We couldn't be each other's only friend. And my kids were forming relationships with other children who were being homeschooled. Her kids were a little older than mine, so I was looking for playmates for them. I started a small group on a Saturday morning, and we went to Mimi's Cafe. I'm trying to think if it was every week. I think it was every other week. So dads would watch our kids, and the moms would meet, and we picked a book to read together, and then we would talk about the chapters in the book. We would take little notes during the week, and we were growing together. We were figuring out homeschool together. This was sort of like a brainstorming session with homeschool friends. We didn't even all agree on everything, but it created a supportive space. A lot of you are getting that already online, but I think there really isn't a substitute for in-person friendships. In other words, I think beyond just, you know, sort of talking online facelessly with people, sometimes we need the skin on. We need the person we can call when we have to go to the doctor and she's going to pitch in and take care of your kids while you run to the doctor. So you need both. The online communities are phenomenal. I'm such a fan. I've run my own online communities. I've been a part of many. But what we're looking for in person is someone to grow with, someone to hug us, someone to take over when we're falling apart. And part of the way we get there is cultivating a vision in community. Start out, if you can, by picking a book, something you might read, and then ask several women who are in your community who share just enough personality traits that they seem like they might be open to it. Work through it every other week or once a month, whatever your families can handle, where you're reading and you're nourishing yourselves, and then you're growing together. One of the best things that ever happened to me is I moved from California to Ohio at the midpoint of my homeschooling career. Dottie had already moved to Ohio, totally different city, kind of ironic that we both left California and moved to Ohio. And so the group I had cultivated in California, of course, I couldn't bring with me. And at that point, we had been fascinated with Charlotte Mason. So that was what our growth model was at the time. I wound up in Ohio and I immediately went to a local homeschool support group, an in-person group. And on the table, there was a little flyer for a Charlotte Mason weekend that was about to happen about 15, 20 minutes from my house. I signed up. I didn't know a soul. I got in my car, I drove to this workshop, and I immediately found women in this workshop and tried to, you know, foist myself on them. And do you know, within 2 years, I was on the steering committee. I had my really good friends. Here's what we did. Not only did I get to know women who shared my perspective, but they included me in their growth. I wasn't in charge. I was simply a member. And then eventually, because I was so persistent, they put me in a little group. And so guess what happened? I heard about, I guess it was a conference. I'm not sure if we called it a conference or a convention, but I heard about a conference where Susan Schaefer McCauley was going to be giving one of the talks. It was in Minneapolis, but we all lived in Dayton and Cincinnati. And I went to this group and I said, I want to go to this, but I don't want to go alone. Six of us went. We saved up our money. We flew on an airplane. We all went to this conference. It was not a homeschool conference, by the way. It was not homeschool. She was the only homeschool person at this conference. We went. She wasn't even our favorite speaker. We all just grew like crazy. We were there learning all kinds of other stuff about the arts and music and literature. It was like an enrichment event. So I share that with you because you need friends like that. You need to develop a community that supports you, and no one's going to hand it to you. It's up to you to create it. And you want to think about people who are willing to take risks with you, who will get together and create a party for your kids, or will save money to get on a plane and go somewhere restorative, whether it's a spa treatment or a half marathon across the country, or an event where one of your favorite speakers is going to be talking. That's the kind of thing that you want to think about when you're thinking about friendship. This isn't just about getting people to tell you that you're doing the right thing. This is finding stimulation and nourishment for your own mind life, for your spirit, for your sense of identity as an adult, not just as a homeschooler. Does that make sense? Another thing I wanted to share is that we joined a co-op in Cincinnati once we got here. And that co-op was actually a very well-established one. It had 100 families, 300 children. It had been in existence already for 3 or 4 years. And I joined. I signed on their little dotted line, and I was a member of this co-op. It happened to be a co-op that had a religious perspective. During those years, in my participation in the co-op, some of my perspectives changed. They didn't necessarily match the dotted lines. But here's what was really fascinating about this particular co-op. The woman who founded it on values, not a statement of belief. And in her list, basically what she said was this: anyone can participate in this co-op as long as they're willing not to contradict these principles in their teaching. So you didn't have to agree with the beliefs. It left room for people to go through seasons of questions, figuring out what they think. But there was sort of a bottom line vision she had that she wanted to protect for the students. I thought that was genius. And it came to really aid me at a point where I was pretty low. And I did not have to leave. One of the reasons that I wanted to bring that up, and for me, it's sort of a little bit risky to share about because I know that everybody has different perspectives about belief systems, but we want to leave space for change and growth. If you are in charge of a co-op or a support group, I want to submit this model to you because I think it's pretty beautiful. The goal here is to create what you believe in, but to leave room for people to not necessarily sign away a belief and then pretend they have it when they don't. The idea is to give people the opportunity to participate and yet to still be human, to go through whatever they're going through. And if you need sort of a bottom line about certain perspectives that you don't want someone to teach against, I think it's fair to say that. But I also think it's important to create space for community and to create space for people to evolve. So one of the things I wanted to share with you is that as you are facilitating groups, because all of you, so many of you on these scopes are leaders in your own right, seek people who value growth. Seek people who value growth. Don't simply look for people who share your model of understanding, whatever that model is. Be with people who are willing to grow, change, evolve, take new information and evaluate it and share back with you. Because guess what? That's what home education is. That's what you're doing with your children. And it's really important that you are living the very thing you want from your children, which is this opportunity to engage ideas and take them in, digest them, and respond to them.
You're listening to the Brave Writer Podcast. I'm Julie Bogart. I've written 3 books in a series called A Gracious Space. There's one for fall, winter, and spring. These books are daily readings, like 50 essays. You read one per day, and they're meant to help you sustain your homeschool commitment. In these books, I've included a lot of wisdom gleaned from the community, as well as my own personal experience as a home educator. Each day's reading includes a sustaining thought and a quote from a member of the community. We cover things related to parenting, education, and self-care routinely in these books. If you would like a print copy, go to Amazon.com and look up A Gracious Space and my name, Julie Bogart, and they'll all come up. If you do purchase a book, I would invite you to leave me a review at Amazon. It's one of the ways that we get the word out to everybody else. If you'd like a digital Kindle version, then please go to bravewriter.com. You can go to our store at the top banner or go there directly, store.bravewriter.com, and look in the Brave Writer Lifestyle Tools category, and you will find Gracious Space. You can purchase any or all 3. We'd be more than happy to have you join us in reading those. I've done a whole series of YouTube videos for the fall edition if you'd like to read along with me and hear me expand on the topics. Thanks. And now let's get back to the podcast.
How do you find new people? Well, so there are a few ways. One of the ways is to find them in existing support groups. So if you are in a co-op or if you are in a support group, propose a book study. I think that's probably the fastest way to find out what people are like. You don't want to ask them, well, what's your homeschool philosophy? Because everyone has one. What you're looking for is for somebody who is willing to explore more than what they already know. And so in your support group, if you say, you know, I've got this book or like, for example, I mean, not to be so self-promoting, but like A Gracious Space, the book that I wrote, have everyone get that on Kindle and pick a weekly place to meet or a biweekly place, and then have each person pick a different essay over the course of the next 6 months. And when you get together, talk about that essay. Maybe keep a little scatter book where you write down the ways that you're putting these things into practice in your own family. In that way, you don't necessarily exclude a textbook user versus a unit studies person. What you're looking for are principles that you share about parenting, about family life, about home education. And that can be cultivated in a small group setting around this dispassionate third party, the book. Does that make sense? So that would be one way that I would suggest doing it. Of course, that really worked well for me. I also started groups in my own house. We did a Charlotte Mason group for several years in my house. And I just put it out there that this is what we were going to be looking to do, is putting into practice art study, nature study, copywork and dictation, narration, living literature. And of course, unbeknownst to my own soul at the time, I was evolving my perspective that has become so much of what Brave Writer is. So you can also draw people to you if you have a clear perspective. You know, make brownies, have tea, hang out in the living room. The kids can be in another room with their other parent. And you can facilitate conversation around the ideas you value. And that can draw people in. It will take some initiative, in other words. People aren't going to find you if you don't put it out there and start cultivating the possibility. Because of the advent of social media, you can find other homeschoolers through Facebook in your area. Lots of cities now have Facebook groups. There are still email lists designed for specific communities. If you join something like the Brave Writer Facebook group, I saw people posting where they're from in that list. It's Brave Writer Lifestyle Facebook page. And if you join that group, you might even find someone that you didn't know lived in your area. So that's another way. I like this idea, hosting a kid book and game club, a mom's night. In fact, we did that too. Johanna had a little writing and book club. I know it's a vulnerable thing to put it out there, but you're not alone. There are so many women hungry for connection. This is not just you. In your support group that exists right now, the citywide one or the co-op or at your church, there are women just like you waiting for someone to simply say, "Want to get coffee? I just need to knock around some homeschool ideas with a friend. Are you willing to do that with me?" What about non-homeschooling friends? Well, that is my second column on my list. Because sometimes what you need is a break from homeschooling. You need friends, but what you're really looking for is a break. You just need someone to knock around with. I found that I made some friends through my children's sports teams, people I could just go out with and, you know, we would talk about our kids, and that was really, really wonderful. I found people through running, becoming a runner. I have a running partner whose daughter was in public school. And when I trained for my first marathon, I was in a group of five women. I was the only homeschooler. And they were all public school moms, and they included me. It was kind of a break. Actually, it really reassured me that I was doing a great job. When I listened to what they complained about on the runs every day, I'm like, oh God, I'm so glad I homeschool. So sometimes it has that fun difference as well. I also joined a social media networking group in Cincinnati because, of course, I'm running an online business and social media is a tool. So I made friends that way, which was wonderful. Rebecca Bison suggests volunteer groups. And if you're kind of introverted, work with animals. That's a great place to meet people and not feel like you have to be some big extrovert. Another way is joining like a book club for adults or a gardening club. Or take a painting class. You want to learn from people who are different from you. Absolutely. That is part of the goal here. We become so much richer and more compassionate when we include a variety of people in our experience. And we don't simply, you know, stay in our bubble. We want to become big, expansive, open. We want our lives to be changed. You know, being a part of a political campaign is fun. I met a lot of people that way. So there are other opportunities besides homeschool support groups. But the original idea of this talk was specifically about homeschool. And I know how much you long for community. So you want to find a partner. And if you can expand it to a circle of three or four, so much the better. One thing you can do, throw a party. Invite the homeschool families that you think would really enjoy the Gold Rush party, the medieval feast party, whatever, you know, party you want to do, the Japanese party, the India party. Invite the families that you think would enjoy that. And that could be a little entree to then talking to those moms, hey, should we swap around? Do you want to do a party in 3 months? That might be a way to draw them in. Model the thing you hope they'll embrace and support you in. And then maybe you can expand that to be a little bit more of a supportive community for you. Someone asked me if I had to draw boundaries with unhealthy people or how I handle negativity. Those are both great. Yes to both. Okay. Yes, I've had to set boundaries with unhealthy people. And yes, I have had negativity directed at me. One of the unhappy secrets about homeschoolers is their anxiety drives them to be somewhat persnickety and exclusive and overly attached to their own value system. It's just true. We're already protective people. That's kind of part of the package of homeschool. So then we become a little bit fixated on our perspective, and then we're mean to people who don't share it. So I don't want any of you to be that person. I want you to be big-hearted and embracing and open if you can. I mean, I know I'm like preaching here, like I'm giving a sermon, but it's very, very important. So one of the things that I want to suggest to you is that you want to find people who understand that journey. And sometimes you're going to find it with other people who've been alienated or excluded. One of the things that I experienced with, I had a very specific toxic relationship in our local community. I've been through, online and offline. When I evolve and change and grow, not everyone has liked that. And as a result, there have been people who have cut me off or I've had to withdraw from. I'm happy to say that in my life, I have healthy relationships. I feel like I've done what I know how to do to be in healthy relationships all along. Sometimes you simply need to recognize that another person is not good for you. The way that they frame things, how they talk to you, their insinuations, let them go. Don't try to change somebody into the right person for you. Go find the right person. You really want to make sure that what you're creating in your life brings you a sense of vitality. That's the criteria. So if you're with someone and you feel drained when it's over, that's not a good person for you. Just let them go. And be open to being surprised by who you might become friends with. I know that when I first moved to Cincinnati, I didn't realize who would be my friends. The first people I met, I sort of clung to them, you know how you do when you move? And they never were my best friends. I found my friends later. So you might have some stepping stone friends as you're getting to where you're going, and that's okay too. We all have that. I also discovered, I don't know if this is true in other cities, but in Cincinnati, nobody ever called to chat. You only used the phone to schedule meetings. I came from LA where we called to talk about our emotions every 10 minutes. And so I thought that meant nobody liked me. I finally had to take some time with one of my local friends who grew up here. And I said, do you guys never call to chat on the phone? She said, yeah, that we don't do that so much. I was like, okay, that was new. Now with texting and Facebook, all of that's changed again. But sometimes what you perceive as rejection is a cultural thing, or it's just something you're not aware of. So ask questions. Don't take everything personally. My mom likes to say that people are only interested in your, mysterious problems for 2 weeks, right? So whatever is going on with you that people don't like, they get over it because they're too preoccupied with their own lives. You can do the same thing. You can see this person who's causing you harm. Just give it 2 weeks of attention and then let it go. Move on. Go find your people. Loneliness is a thing, and it's a painful thing. And I remember the feeling of not knowing where my people were and feeling alone and trying to find my footing. And you know what? You know where I found it? And you're all already going to know the answer to this. Online. So go find your people online during the period of time that you don't have them in person. And then work on the in-person thing a little bit at a time. If you need online people right now, there are two ways to do it. One, join the Facebook Brave Writer Lifestyle Group. And the other way is to join the Homeschool Alliance. If you want, this one costs money, the other one's free. They're both great. And they give you the people that you need to talk to while you are trying to build a small community for yourself, okay? I'm for all of it. You know, do what works for you. This is an opportunity. It's not an obligation. You can have a good life without being in the Homeschool Alliance. I just happen to love the space that we've created there. And if you really need deep diving and support and strengthening of your own beliefs, join up. Otherwise, you know, chit chat over at the Brave Writer Lifestyle Facebook page. It's wonderful. There's like 1,500 people in there and they share their kids' work like every other day. And I get tears in my eyes and then I giggle out loud. And oh my gosh, it's just, these are incredible spaces online to help you while you're sturdying up. I spent endless hours on dial-up connection on Charlotte Mason lists in the 90s. That's what I did. I spent endless hours on the Sunlight forums. That's what I did. And when I moved from California to Ohio, the transition wasn't too bad because I took all my online people with me. In fact, I'm going to throw this out to you. I got to be so close to some of those online women, I started my own online group. And if you remember last year, I had a reunion of all these women. There's like 40 of us that are still close all these years later, 15 years later. They came to my house in 2001, and then they came again last year in 2015. Same group of women. Oh, the number of changes we have been through. I will have to do a scope on that someday. What you think you know, and then what you find out. Oh my goodness. But what an invaluable support system. All these women from around the country have been to me, and we have made it a priority to see each other in person at various junctures. You can have your people, and they may not live in your neighborhood. But now, my gosh, with phones and FaceTime and texting, they can be every bit as valuable and real to you as a next-door neighbor. So that's what I had to share today. I hope that's helpful and sufficient. I'm mostly just rooting for you, building your community, brave schoolers. That's what we are. You all are. The marks of this journey are courage and compassion. That's it. Those two things will take you so far in life, home education, friendship, family, all of it. Courage and compassion. View people with the eye of, oh, she probably feels like I do. Some people don't know that they can be honest about how they feel. I want to tell you this one little story. This might help. So when Noah was born, I was given these books, you know, La Leche League breastfeeding books, and we did, you know, the full-on breastfeeding thing. I was all in. And I loved La Leche League. So we lived in Morocco at the time for his first year of life, and I was just around Moroccans. I didn't even know that there were two kinds of breastfeeding, like this weird schedule thing that a lot of people did. I didn't know what that was because I was around Moroccans. All these Moroccans nursed round the clock, right? So that's all I did. I just knew that's what you do. You sleep with your baby, you nurse your baby, blah, blah, blah. So I come back to the States, and suddenly I'm like confronted with all my college friends who have their babies on these interesting schedules, right? And I didn't know anything about that. And I was a little horrified, to be perfectly frank. Of course, their kids have grown up fine and mine have grown up fine. So, you know, I probably was overdoing it. But anyway, I entered La Leche League. I actually also became a La Leche League leader for 10 years. So, you know, you see the person that I am. I mean, that's what I do. So I joined La Leche League. And for my very, very first meeting, I thought, oh no, Noah uses a pacifier. If I show up with a baby wearing a pacifier, are they even going to like me? Could I even make friends? But how can he go without this pacifier? He was like, you know, a year and a half. And so I took his pacifier and hid it in my purse. And also, oh gosh, I still remember the outfit I was wearing because I was afraid that I might not look right. So I literally bought Birkenstocks to wear to this meeting. I mean, this is how like irrational I was as a young mother. So I had on these blue Birkenstocks, white jeans, a little red long sleeve shirt, and the pacifier secretly hidden in my purse. And I walk in with Noah, and there were babies with pacifiers everywhere. There were women using bottles. And I went, oh, these are my people. Like, they're going to teach us how to breastfeed, but they take us exactly where we were. Does that make sense? And it was such a freeing experience for me. I was so worried I was going to be judged. So be that for your friends. There are friends who don't know that they can tell you that they watch R-rated movies and enjoy them because they think they're going to be judged by you. So give them permission to be who they are around you. And then you get to be who you are around them. And that's the way it works. It's how it works in Brave Writer. That's why I don't have any problems with people coming to me and saying, oh, well, we use this structured format program for the last 5 years, or we haven't done any writing yet. It's like, okay, now I know more about you. Now I know what you've tried. How brave of you to tell me that and to come into my system when you've just been using the most structured system on the market. Wow, how great to have you here. I wonder how what we do is going to support and inform what you've already done. This is what everybody craves. Don't you crave that? I do. I want to be received as I am. And I want space to change my mind, even flippantly, without being thoughtful about it. Because that's what humans do. Some people have to taste and experience before they know if they believe it. And then some people have to do research and thorough evaluations before they know if they believe it. Be the kind of person that gives other people permission to go through their personality quirks to get to a place that's comfortable for them and learn from each other. Yes, and if somebody can't do that with you, if they can't take you where you are and walk on the journey with you, then here's something to consider. They just haven't had enough crisis in their life yet. You've now reminded me of another amazing story, so I'm just going to have to share it because it's so, right now I just feel it welling up. So one of my favorite people in my life here in Cincinnati was a homeschooling mom who thoroughly reached out to me when I first arrived. You know, when you first move somewhere, the person who really cares about you and makes you feel welcome, you don't forget them easily. Our families homeschooled a little bit together. My daughter and one of their daughters became best friends. We did family nights together, both families. And so we would stay in the same house, have dinner, hang out. And then Lisa and I started doing creative memories where you'd put, you know, remember photos? We put them in albums back in the day. So I would go to her house and we would make photo albums together. And I just loved her, and she really loved me. And then my family sort of fell on hard times. We had, you know, a divorce came along, and I went through some changes in my homeschool beliefs, etc. And she herself, I think, felt threatened by that. I think it would be fair to say that, because we all do. When somebody's life has struggle, and we're trying really hard to keep struggle away, sometimes we don't want to be around someone struggling. It's almost like when you hear, you know, your friend has breast cancer, you almost feel like if you think about breast cancer, you might get it. It's like we're all a little contagious suddenly because we're so scared. And so she withdrew for a little while. And then one day she came back because she went through something. And when she came back to me because I had been through something. And now we're like buddies again. I mean, we don't see each other that much, but the heart connection, oh gosh, it's making me emotional, is so strong. That's how it works. So take the long view. Recognize that sometimes, you know, you go through something, someone's not ready to be your friend, but they may come back. Okay? It's hard. takes time. It takes really a lot of time. I always say I've moved a few times. It takes 3 or 4 years before you feel like you belong. And in a city like Cincinnati, where people are so entrenched in their communities and families, it took longer. And I had to use online relationships as a bridge during those years. And like I said, I found this one Charlotte Mason group, and those people were fabulous. And now I'm not even friends with them anymore. Yeah, it takes 3 to 4 years. Absolutely. Because first of all, you don't even have a mental map. You don't even know where you are. You're like, someone says, hey, I live over here. And you're like, where is that? You know, someone said 10 years. Yes. Hang in there. Find one or two people that let you text them or call them. Join a group where you can be one of many and go to their events. Don't stay home. Don't hide. Get your body out the door. Sometimes that's as much as you can do, but show up. Keep showing up. Go to those group meetings if you can. Be vulnerable. I had to tell a couple of my friends, hey, you keep forgetting to invite me. I want to be at the lunch. I want to go to the movie. I know I look like I'm working all the time, but really I'm not. I'm free at night, right? You got to do it. And then you have to actually go. So they'll remember to invite you next time. And then you got to invite them and keep asking. I remember when I was in a sorority, my very first year at UCLA, and I made lunch dates. I was so deliberate about it. I made lunch dates like with a new sorority sister every week for the first 2 months. And not one of them showed. It was like 6 in a row. None of them showed. And we had this night where you like pass the bear because we're UCLA Bruins and there's candles and each girl has to share like how it's going as a freshman at UCLA. And I burst into tears. I scheduled all these lunches and nobody came. Every single girl had a good reason. One got lost on the campus. Another totally forgot. Another was afraid I wasn't going to be there and didn't come. Like literally, it all made sense. And then because I told them and cried, then I had friends. So, you know, this stuff goes deep. I mean, it goes back right to fourth grade when I got, you know, excluded because I was too short. I mean, it goes deep. So you have to be brave. Courage and compassion. Courage and compassion.
That's it for today. I hope you found some ideas you can implement even this week. I'd love to hear from you. Follow me on Instagram at Julie Brave Writer, or you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Brave Writer. In the meantime, live honestly, write bravely. I'm Julie Bogart from Brave Writer.